usually a big pension to be the lead plaintiff. I work with all these providers here where we've had the chairman basically go fly to like Dallas and they have to be in court. That's kind of what they want. But in general, if they do represent a case and there is any money that comes by, they charge a nominal fee of like somewhere between usually 4% and 8%. So it's kind of like found money. You know, so if you get $100 that you were supposed to get and they were monitoring it, then you get, you know, 95. You know, so it's kind of just another set of eyeballs on there that a lot of, plans have.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'll let Pedro.
Pedro, do you have any comments on that?
Sure. Yeah, so I think just to kind of keep it brief, really, it's meant, I think, at least from my perspective, it is a free service. There is no cost to the plan, you know, obviously, other than some labor costs and kind of setting, you know, having the custodian set them up with access, but really no cost to the plan. While your custodial bank is supposed to be filing these claims on your behalf, right, whenever there's a settlement or an award for these class actions, that's not really their primary business, right? So there may be times where our claims aren't filed or they're filed late or whatever the case may be. So this is really just, at least from our perspective, it's an extra check and balance on the system, so that to John's point, if there is some money out there that's available to us, we just make sure to capture it. So again, it doesn't require the board to proceed or pursue any legal action or serve as a lead plaintiff or file any litigation. It's really just, I think, more than anything else, another check and balance on our system, just to make sure that we're trying to cover all the bases and getting as much of these funds as we are entitled to receive. If there is any recommendation or you know, potential for a leadership position in one of these class actions, that'll be a separate discussion, separate engagement, right? So we can cross that bridge if we get there, but the likelihood based on our plan, on the asset size, as well as, you know, where we're invested and so on, it's probably not going to come anytime soon, I would imagine. But again, it's a separate discussion, separate engagement. So we can maybe deal with that, you know, if and when it comes. But for the time being, we don't, you know, we, as John mentioned, we have many plans that have, you know, 2, 3, 4 of these portfolio monitoring firms. And so we have no issues with it and think it's a good idea for the system itself.
Perfect. Thank you, Pedro.
Yes, sir.
So at this point, if you want, you can make a motion to approve adding Wolf Popper as a securities monitoring litigation firm. It's going to be up to you guys.
I was going to wait.
That's fine.
I think they're going to be at the conference.
Perfect.
So
yep.
Just to get more information.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Does anybody, any other trustees have anything? Nope. All right. At that point, make a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
All right.
Second.
All right.
Okay, adjourned. Pedro, I'm going to hang up, give you a couple minutes to hit the rest of whatever, I'll call you right back.
Okay. Perfect.
I've never been more mad at the farmer before in my life. Of all the days, I just want to go home.
Okay.
I'm all set. Whatever you did, I love it. Call the order. I call the order of the City of Edgewater Police Officers Pension Board quarterly meeting for September 2025. Roll call.
Miles Lawler.
Here.
David Williams.
Here.
Charles Geiger.
Here.
Brian Gintz.
Here.
And new trustee Scott Gabbery.
Here.
So we have a quorum.
Perfect. Public comment. Public comment, this is your time to come up and address the board of any pension-related matters not on the agenda. Please keep all public comments to 3 minutes or less. Perfect. Approval of the minutes. I look for a motion to approve the June 9th, 2025 quarterly minutes as described.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Perfect. Roll call.
Miles Lawler.
Yes.
David Williams.
Yes.
Charles Geiger.
Yes.
Brian Gintz.
Yes.
And Scott Gabbery.
Yes.
New business. Number one, trustee update. Troy.
So, as you know, we have lost Mr. Mahoney, and we now have gained Scott Gabbery. Welcome to the board.
Thank you.
And so he will be serving with us now, finishing out Mr. Mahoney's term. And we also, at this point, we put off doing a election of officers at the last meeting. So we are due for an election of officers, and that normally works by somebody nominating someone for the chairman first. We vote on the chairman, and then after that, we would nominate someone for secretary, and then we vote on secretary. So at this point, I would open it up to a vote for anybody that would like to nominate somebody to be the chairman of the police pension board.
So I would like to nominate Charles Geiger as chairman of the pension board.
Second.
Was the second?
Gintz.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second.
Bless you.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes, and Charles Geiger will be our pension board chairman.
Thank you.
Now we have a secretary, so I'd like to have anybody like to make a nomination for secretary.
Anybody want it?
I'll do it.
Yeah. I can make the motion. Does somebody want to
make I'll make a motion. Dave Williams for secretary.
Second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. So we have David Williams as our secretary.
Congratulations.
Okay, moving on to, let's see. Good with that. We're to the proposed 2026 meeting dates. If you go to page 5 of 108 on your tablet, every year in quarter three, we do propose meeting dates. I know it's very early, but we have to do this because we're a plan administration company and an actuary firm, so we have a lot of scheduling to do between us. So this is when we do this in quarter three. These dates are the same basic schedule as we had the last year, same day of the week, same time, and they fit the same schedule day of the month. So we try to get approval of these minutes, of these meeting dates ahead of time. If something changes, three of you are going to be out on a training class or something like that that you find out, you know, between now and the next step meeting, we can always make an adjustment and change the date. But if there's no other questions, I would look for a motion to approve the 2026 meeting dates.
I'll approve the meeting dates.
Gins for a second.
Any other questions? Yes. All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, 2026 meeting dates approved. And we'll skip right to the next page. That's the proposed 2025-2026 budget, just for you especially, but for everybody as well. This is this proposed budget is something that's required by the state. This number that you see on the far right column, this is not something we're trying to get to. This is basically a historical estimate of what we think we're going to spend based on our past. and what we project this year. Plus, we build in a cushion for each one that say we have an anomaly, that something happens that we didn't expect, that we have a 10, 15, 20% increase in each one. So we build that into each one. So it's a historical plus a look forward plus a cushion built in. And so this is the number for the first column, which is the actual expenses up through 7/31. Our fiscal year ends 9/30 every year, and we start the new fiscal year October 1st. These bills will not all be paid on 9/30, so even though the number looks like it's very small, we will still be paying bills for this fiscal year probably 6 weeks past September 30th. So there are still probably 3 months, at least 3 months of bills going to be coming in. If there's any questions on a line item, I'd be happy to go over how I came up with these numbers. But other than that, I'd be looking for a motion to approve the 2025-2026 proposed budget.
I'll make a motion to approve the 2025-2026 budget as proposed.
I'll second it.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, and we will just scoot right down to the summary plan description. The summary plan description is done, in this case, by Foster and Foster. We've been waiting because we've had some ordinances and things like that need to get updated, so we're kind of 2 quarters past when we would have normally done it. But at least we've got some things that are finished and now added in here. So the summary plan description is basically the Reader's Digest for the officers. This is not an ordinance. This has all your ordinances in it and your policies in it. And it's basically just so that you can look through and look for a certain thing, whether it's drop or you want to look at share or you want to look at, you know, time off or death benefit or whatever. These things are all in here for the officers. It's basically just your handbook. So it gives you just a quick reference. It's not going to have everything, and you're going to still have questions, which is what I, as the plan administrator, are here to help. Same with Pedro, and as well as anybody else from my firm. So we can actually help with anything that needs to be added. So we can add to the summary plan description. We update it every 2 years normally, but we can always, if something comes up that we want to get added to the next one, that's something we can discuss at a meeting, and that can be approved, and it can that into the update. Okay. Any questions about the change? Most of these are just basic changes as far as me changing as the, you know, the administrator, but there are some updates in here that came from ordinances. And they should be in there. If there's no questions, I would be looking for a motion to approve the updated summary plan description.
Not a question. I know you're probably out of it, but Exhibit A there with the Board of Trustees, we would update that before it went out?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Yep. That's the only note that
I
have.
Let me just...
I make a motion to accept the summary plan description.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Summary plan description update passes with an update to the new board, so that we get that correct. Okay, and it looks like now we are on to old business. I'm sorry, we're on to Doug. Yep, Doug Wilson.
You were blamed for the fire meeting going so long, Doug, so.
I think I blathered on like a long time, yes.
Okay. So you got all that out of
blame.
Your
blame.
Okay.
I will take it. There we go. I think this one will go faster.
I do too.
I'm doing the same experience study I did for fire, but I always say it's a running joke. The actuary is always wrong, and that's why we have to tweak the valuation every year. And
the weatherman of the pension
world. Yes. Oh, yeah. You get these guys. Doing the cones of projection and there's a lot of YouTubers out there not making a lot of money this year because nothing's heading towards the
so coast. We call that the cone of overtime.
Yeah, the cone of overtime. Yes, I think the state took care of that limitation. Well, again, the running joke is the actuary is always wrong. But I just pulled up your study, by the way, as I'm vamping here. If you go to page 40 of 108. No, I can talk while you're hunting for it. It's on your tablets, page 40. three of the assumptions we looked at from the last experience that we did, which was 5 years ago, and they were like almost dead on. So I was kind of shocked. Let me just give you the breakdown while we're going through this. If I talk like 5 minutes or so, then I can get you to understand the numbers when I talk about them. I give you the valuation every year. I come in March, and you know the routine. I would say, here's what the city put in last year, and here's what we're recommending for the next year, and see you next year. And it's always different, isn't it? The percent of payroll, it generally isn't hugely different, but it changes. And while you understand, I can get nodding and all that, you might not remember. It's like, why does Doug keep coming to us and say the numbers keep changing? That's because it's a pension plan. It's not a 401k. A 401k, the city would have the exact same number every pay period. Let's say they say, no more pension, we'll just give you 10% of pay, and that'll go away. So every pay period, you get 10% of your pay would go in. You have to invest it. And at retirement, you're not getting a check, right? You've got this pile of money. And you could pay yourself checks from it, I guess. You're just drawing down on that pile of money, and hopefully it lasts until you die, right? Or at least, and even then, maybe some left over. This is a pension plan. We tell the city to invest how much, and then they pass an ordinance to say, here's what you get as far as a check. And that pile of money stays in the trust fund. Well, because it's a pension plan, it's a defined benefit. So the contribution fluctuates every year, and those contribution fluctuations are based on reality versus assumptions. We want the assumptions to be as close as possible, but there is no way when we're dealing with like seven assumptions, there's no way that we're hitting them dead on every year. Even if, we got your investment return pretty close every year, still, some years you beat it, some years you fall short, we do a four-year smoothing. On the salary increase, it's impossible. I cannot come to you today and say, here's what we recommend, and then say, we don't need to revisit it from time to time, because we know we're wrong. But nobody in the room could tell me, like 3 years from now, what is the city planning to pay? They might be able to tell you the next year or the next 2 years. But our job as the actuaries, we need to take every officer in the plan, just think of the youngest officer just hired, and run it out for the next 20 years for his pay. What am I supposed to use? That's why we go through this exercise. Every 5 years, we come back and say, here's what we were assuming last time. I came to you 5 years ago with the recommendation. Now, here's what's happened since then. And then we make a recommendation, say, you should update. You should make changes going forward. That's what we're doing today, making these adjustments. In the end, if the assumptions are as close as we can get to reality, then the little tweaks that we do every March should be kind of small, not anything really big. So let's just go down the line here. I'm going to tell you how we're going to part ways today. I might as well tell you the answer. I've always learned as a teacher, I give you the answer, and then I tell you how we got there. And that way, it's easier to follow. It's like, oh, I know the answer. Kind of like looking in the back of the textbook. It's like, okay, I'm still going to do the work to get to that, but at least now I know I'm going in the right direction. That's what we're doing here. Where we're going to part ways today is you're going to probably tell me to do a scenario somewhere between 8 and 9. Scenario 8 is you're going to take all of the assumption recommendations I make, and there's only three of them that are not dealing with investment that we have to make a decision on. Because three of them, I'll just tell you, it's no change from the last time. And if you pick the 7.3% assumption for investment, we part ways and say, okay, adopt everything and keep the 7.3. I'm going to recommend that we maybe start moving down from the 7.3 towards the 7, but I don't think we want to go all the way to 7 at the same time. So we're going to figure out something between 8 and 9, and that's you're going to vote on it and tell me to do that with the next report. Okay? So let's talk about, starting at number 1, the investment assumption. There's no right answer. There's a lot of wrong answers. So if you told me today, change it to 8, raise it from 7.3, lower the city's requirement, make the plan better funded, I can't do that. I'm not saying I can't do that because I disagree with 8% long term. In fact, I think if we look out over the next 30 plus years, based on what the city ordinance allows you to invest in and based on your strategy and your asset allocation and inflation, I think 8 probably is doable. But there's a lot of other things in the mix. One of those is a comparison. Like, what is your plan? How does it compare to other plans in the area, in the state, nationally? How does it compare to Florida Retirement System? What do auditors and other actuaries, including those in Tallahassee that review the reports, what is their opinion? Because all of it weighs. And right now, the average is about 7. The Florida, and by average, I mean Florida and nationally for public pension plans. Florida Retirement System using 6.7. The actuaries who review this report in Tallahassee, they have their own opinion long-term of like 5.5 to 6.5. So this is why I say 7.3, you know, anything in the 7s is, to me as the actuary, is perfectly reasonable. But we have to factor these other things in, and so I think we should start moving towards 7 beginning with the next report. Now, if you told me go all the way to 7 all at once, I don't think you will, but if we did, you would be asking the city for an extra 3.2% of payroll. That's what that 3.2 means. So whatever baseline I create with the next valuation report, if you said do that and lower the investment assumption to 7, I would take the baseline plus 3.2% of payroll. And the following year, the city would have to start putting in that extra 3.2% of payroll. That's how that works. If you liked something in between, like what would a 7.2 look like? Then, you know, that's about 1% of payroll. So if you want to knock off 10 basis points, it's about 1% of payroll. From there, I'm going to get out of the way because the 7.3 is not unreasonable. And as long as you make any movement towards the 7, I'm perfectly happy with. I, at that point, let you work with John as your consultant to determine, you know, how much, if 7's reasonable, is it, you know, somewhere lower than 7 eventually? So at this point, I'm going to pause, set the stage for John here, and I'm going to let you guys have a quick little chat with John to see if, you know, I'm not asking you to vote at this moment. Maybe in about 15 minutes we will. But I want you to have a chat with your consultant at this point.
So I think 7.3 is fine. You don't need to do anything. But working together with your actuary, Doug, would you support 7.25 with the intent of increasing it to 0.05% each year?
That's common. It's done. And yes. Fine with that. So that would be like 0.5% of payroll.
0.5% of payroll.
Yeah. And then we can just revisit each year to see if you want to continue. It's called a glide path. And that's done
that's,
commonly.
That's pretty similar to what we've done over the past.
You have.
Yeah, several years.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Of the goal to get to 7. Yeah, so we're still on path.
All right. Any other comments, questions on the investment assumption? Let's jump down to salary. So I've given you a number there, but I need to show you where it came from. Okay. If you adopt a new salary scale based on one we created, it would be an additional 2.7% of payroll to the city. Understand the way assumptions work is if you say no, we're good with the current assumption. 5 years ago, we adopted a table. Say we're good with that. Well, if the city is in a pattern, you know, if we're living in times now where the bargaining parties, the city and the union, are negotiating increases that are above what was adopted 5 years ago, the city's costs are going to go up. Even if you say we don't think so, it's for, you know, don't. But if they come back next year and the year after that, the costs are going to creep up towards that additional 2.7, even if you don't assume it. That's the point of picking an assumption that's close to reality, is if you believe that that probably is closer to the truth, and here's an overriding philosophy and everything, reality wins. Always, reality wins. Then you want to get those monies in so that they're not just sitting in the city's general fund every year and they're just having to pull it out to pay for the additional salary increases. It's actually coming into the pension and getting invested, and that's what you want, because those salary increases translate to checks that get paid out of the trust fund down the road. So it's pay now or pay later. Let me show you where that additional 2.7% funding is coming from. If you go backwards in the report, or just scroll down, so I want you to look at page 33 of 108. Again, 5 years ago, I came to you and made a recommendation for a salary scale, a salary assumption. And if you're looking at page 33, that top table, look at the second column from the right. That was the table you adopted 5 years ago. So for example, officers in the first 2 years of service, we expected a 14% pay increase for those 2 years. So as soon as they get hired, and for the first 2 years of service, take the base pay the city reported to us and say next year increase it by 14, and the year after that increase it by 14. And then if the officer was still here, then years 2 through 9, his pay, we're just talking about an individual officer, would go up 6.5% per year. And then once he got to 10 years, his pay would go up 4% per year until he retired. Over a 20-year career average, that averaged out to 7.04% annualized average. That's what we adopted the last time we did this study. Now, if you look at the left-hand column, that reflects what actually happened from 2014 through 2024. That 10-year period. Members in their first 2 years got a 16.5% increase, so not too far off, pretty close to what we were assuming. But from there, it was quite a bit higher. Years 2 through 9, 7.68, and 10 plus, 7.28. So for a 20-year career, excuse me, the actual increase came out as 9%. We were assuming 7. We don't normally with the salary scale say, oh, because it's been 9, let's just adopt that going forward. I think I have a pretty good idea of where the 9 came from. The reason is twofold. Part of it I predicted. Before COVID, I saw the minimum wage law pass, which brought everybody up to $15 an hour in the state. I think we're at 14 now. Next year is the next one. I knew that governmental salaries are going up because of that. There's no way they wouldn't, especially for police and fire. Because I had still had a number of plans where the starting pay was not too far above, you know, what $15 an hour is $30,000 a year. I had a lot of plans 6 years ago that were low 30s. Like, there's no way that that doesn't go up. But then what happened? COVID. Lockdown, supply chain issues, governments at all levels paying people not to work, and printing money to make all these things happen. And so then you devalue the money that's in circulation, and that leads to inflation. And inflation means less buying power, and means people like, I need more money. So they go to their negotiator and it's like, we need more money. So those two things primarily have led to why, in my opinion, the actual increase was a lot higher than what we recommended 5 years ago. So the question is, do the increases still continue at what actually happened from 2014 to 2024? I have no idea. So I created an in-between. I split the difference and said, here's last time, our assumption, here's what happened, let's split the difference, assume that going forward, come back in 5 years, and then do this again. So if you agree that we sort of blend it, call it like a smoothing on the salary scale, then the city's costs go up that 2.7% of payroll. So before I move from this, questions, comments on salaries, observations? As long as it makes sense what I explained, then I guess we just, and if you're willing to entertain just splitting the difference, then we'll move forward and just do that. By the way, I'm a broken record. I've done 20 of these this year, about 20 experience studies, and everybody's in the same boat because everybody's competing. Every municipality, every sheriff department, every police department, they're all competing with each other. We're getting people still feeding down I-95 from up north. They're moving into the state. I talked to my trustees, Neptune Beach Police, Fernandina, Port St. Lucie, Hallandale, all up and down. And these young families, they're moving down from these big cities up north, and they come down and they ask two things: what's the salary and what's pension? So that's, I think, just going to continue with the upward pressure on salaries.
So splitting the difference would decrease the city's percentage of payroll, or commitment to percentage of payroll, right?
Their percentage of payroll goes up by 2.7.
Okay.
Yeah. And the funded status goes down about a 1 percentage point or so initially. The extra money will get the funded status back up. All right, so let's go back to page 40. So I'm almost done again because three of the assumptions I'll explain as there is no change. The next one was mortality rates. That's 1.6% of payroll. Yes, we're assuming you live longer because the Florida retirement system adopted a new table that assumes that, and we have to link to that. I think you're all aware it's a statute. It was a study done by a group called the Society of Actuaries. They collected data from public sector pension plans around the country, including Florida retirement system. So actual lives, mortality experience in Florida was submitted along with the rest of the country. So this table that would have an impact for Edgewater Police, 1.6% of payroll, is based on public sector pension plan police officers from around the nation. So I think that generally should be representative, meaning I think, I'm going to guess as the actuary, that the mortality experience for Edgewater police officers should be about the same as the national average public sector pension plans of police officers. It makes sense to me, but I'll never know. I mean, I can't prove it, but I would think it's probably that, you know, is Edgewater really dramatically different than any other average municipality around the country? I would think no, should be average. So good news is we're expecting you to live longer, and I hope you do. Our measurement initially is 1.6% of payroll. The next three, retirement, withdrawal, and disability, see all those zeros? That means your retirement withdrawal, which is turnover, leaving before retirement, and disability, they were all like super close to what we adopted 5 years ago. Very little difference. So we're recommending sticking with those old assumptions because they're still valid. Number seven is the one component that brings the city's cost down. It's 0.5% of payroll. That's entry age normal cost allocate. All that is, it's very wordy. It's how many years we tell the city to put money in for an officer when he comes into the plan. Right now, if he comes in, we say put in money for 20 years exactly, because he's going to, we think, 20 and no. But we know that the officer probably gets hired in the middle of the year, like March or April. So he's actually going to be here for 20 and a half years. So we tell the city, just fund for his benefit over that 20 and a half rather than 20. That means you can put in, you're putting in a longer period of time, just, and you can put in a little bit less every year. A little bit less over a longer period of time equals the same pot of money at the end. That's why we can lower the city's requirement by 0.5% of payroll by doing that. So what I think you're going to end up approving then is we'll call it like option 8A, which is all of the salary, mortality, and normal cost allocation with a 7.25. And that would, whatever baseline I establish with the city, we're going to add about 4.5% of payroll. That's, I call it option 8A. Is my ballpark is 4.5% of payroll. So when I do the 25 valuation, I'll give you the city's baseline, and from there I'll add 4.5% of payroll on top of it. And that will impact the city's budget for 26-27, not this upcoming year, 26-27. And then we'll redo this in 2030, every 5 years. So, questions, comments before you vote? I can give you the words for it if you want.
Doug, would it be a motion to approve the experience study option 8, but at a 7.25% assumption rate?
Perfect. With the 10-125 valuation.
I make that motion.
Perfect.
Second.
So that first is Miles?
Dave Williams made the motion, and Miles made the second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm free to get the good news now from this guy.
You're up, brother.
All right. So let me pass out the books here. All right. So we got very good returns here. But if you turn to for the new trustee. So my name's John. I talk about stocks and bonds and lots of numbers and words. But really, I'm not buying the stocks and bonds. But I'm looking down on our portfolio like a football field, and making sure all the players are moving in their right spots. And then if we need to take sub some people out and in, we kind of change things on the margin. And then you all just approved 7.25, which is, I can tell you, I was fine with 7.3, but we're moving in the right direction, so that's good. But it's not going to change our allocation here at all. Unless we change something very drastically, we don't change much. It's not very exciting. It's a big moving ship that we make sure is in the channel markers, kind of going forward. You'll see in your numbers here that the 7.3 was easily attainable because we've done that for the last decade. Everybody here, we're a team, making even the city as well. So,
sure.
So I come once a quarter and I'll tell you how we did, put some context around it, and answer any questions. Okay, so in my book on page one here, so my bosses put this in here, the first couple of pages, so I have to talk about them. For nerdy math people like Doug and I, for consultants, there is this firm, Greenwich, that takes not only your returns, very good, the FIRE, but all of our thousand of clients, as well as, in every other consulting firm, and then they give awards. So we just won the best consulting firm in the country for the fourth year in a row, so thank you for being a part of that journey.
Congratulations. Thank you.
The bottom half there, you also are part of this journey. We were used to be called ANCO, so it sounded like a pharmaceutical company. Now we're Mariner, sounded like a fishing company. But we did change our name, and almost everybody came over that was supposed to, so I have to say 99%. So, again, thank you for being a part of that that journey with us. Okay, so if you turn to page 5. So my book here is as of June 30th. I'll give you updated numbers and kind of tell you where we're at. Unlike for new trustee, we don't go by calendar years. So if you listen to the markets, the talking heads, they talk in calendar years. We go by fiscal. So our fiscal year is almost done. We got 2 weeks left. I'll tell you where we're at. But we're hoping to just kind of push sideways here, and we're going to have a very good fiscal year. But this book shows you, as of June 30th, the biggest thing this quarter is we had a Liberation Day. So remember all the tariff talk back in early April? Your portfolio alone, not just the stock market, this is pretty crazy, from April 8th till June 30th, moved about 20%. So, you know, give or take, you're under $20 million, but just take 20% of $20 million, somewhere between $3.5 million and $4 million we moved in a matter of 2 months, which is pretty crazy. We know that here, but going forward, I'm sure most of us already forgot about it, and my book only shows you quarter data points. So every iteration of this board, April 8th, and all that time period, it's just, it's gone, which is, you know, pretty incredible. As I go through the managers, if you go to the upper left-hand corner on page 5, the 3M columns for the quarter. So all that movement, the S&P 500 under that 3M returned 10.94%. You know, so pretty incredible. Give or take, we're up about 6-7% for this current quarter. You know, so we're hoping to end you know, the last 12 months here very strongly. A couple down there, you'll see a number that says 17.84%. That is those technology stocks. So when I was here last time, they got beat up pretty bad. Big sell-off, and then the exact opposite. Hopefully, going forward, we don't have these you know, crazy swings. But right below that 17.84, you'll see a 3.79, and that's kind of the rest of the market. You know, so when I go through your managers, when you see an MFS up 18 and then a Vanguard equity income up 4, that's the difference. You know, so we have different players, but you know, navigating different parts of the market, blending up together. Right below there, the fixed income, you'll see where it says U.S. aggregate. That is just the U.S. bond market. And you can see there under the 3M, up 1.21%. For the current quarter, that number is another positive 2, just because the Fed is expected to cut rates here on Wednesday. We all think 0.25, but I think the market expects that. If it's anything more, we're going to get another little kicker positive, and the market will probably shoot up a little bit more before 9:30. But overall, versus where we were 3 months ago, in a much better, or even 4 or 5 months ago, much better spot, and we're going to end the year very strong. Your portfolio, from the numbers I'm about to show you, is up another 4.5%. So you all are going to be racing with the police to see who has the best return here the next 2 weeks for the fiscal year. You know, so you all are up about 11-something, and they are right in the same boat. So we're you know, poised to have a very strong year, and I'll show you the rankings as well. If you turn to page 17, you'll see the pie charts. So as again I said, sometime for the for new trustee, we're kind of boring here. You know, we don't have a lot of crazy asset classes. You know, the stocks and the bonds, and we have a little commercial real estate, just big buildings like warehouses and apartments. You know, but a slow moving ship, but keeping it simple is usually the best way to go. And I'm going to show you how y'all rank relative to your peers. That's the way to keep it. It's just keep it simple and don't get any of that crazy those asset classes. But you'll see here on page 17 with the pie charts crossed over 19. We're not quite at 20 million yet, but you know, give or take, we will get there soon enough, probably sometime next year. So page 18 gets into just all those individual managers. You can see just the pie charts. The blue and the gray are our stocks. You know, blue is the U.S., gray is the international. But again, moving you know, in the right direction there. We as Troy's going to mention, he'll give you the exact number, but we did just have the state monies are about to come in. You know, so when they do, I invest according to your policy. You know, and we'll make sure we buy the right amount of stocks and bonds when that comes in. So if you turn to page 22 and 23. So again, 22 gets into those returns. You'll see there for the quarter, we are up over 8%. Again, so a very different from what we saw back in early April. But quarter up over 8, and in those parentheses, that's where y'all rank relative to your peers. So when you see a 9, that means that you know, you beat 91% of all the public plans in the country. So not only you know, Edgewater and this our area here, but also the Florida and then the country. So that's very good. as well. You'll see there for the fiscal year, I'm showing almost a 7, but 6.84. And that gets, if you add another 4.5 to there, that's where we're in those double digits, ranking 8th percentile. And regardless of what happens the next 2 weeks, we're going to be in the 90th percentile amongst all your peers. As you go further out, you know, when I mentioned the 7.3 I was fine with, but we, you know, we moved it to 7.25, you're going to see here, you know, pick a time period, 1, you know, 3, 5, 7, 10, even inception, not the inception number, because we weren't there yet. Back in 2000, I don't think our firm existed. But even 10 years, you'll see they're above the 7.3% there. You know, and as you go out longer time periods, if you look at the 7, the 10-year, all those, you can see how high we consistently rank. You know, so basically over the last decade, give or take, we've beaten 80% of the plans, not only in Florida, but the country. You know, so given our asset size and how we're diversified, a very, very successful last decade. As you go down the, if you go back to the left-hand side, the quarter column, just to point out a few things, we do have balance. You know, I mentioned big numbers, you know, an 18 for one of your managers and a 4 for another, but last quarter was the exact opposite. You know, so we have balance, but you'll see there that for the first one, up 4% for the Vanguard equity, we have the index 500 right below there, and then the MFS growth, that was that big one, up almost 18%. But again, last quarter, the exact opposite, and it's, we usually don't have these big swings, those big numbers, but that is why we are diversified and not all of our eggs in one basket. On page 23, rounding out the portfolio, the top third is your international stocks. We have American and then Transamerica. You'll see both in double digits, so again, a very strong quarter. Your bond manager in the middle of the page there is Integrity, and they are just high-quality, simple bonds that when the stuff does hit the fan, they help protect the portfolio. They are that green sleeve. Again, obviously for this quarter, they're not double digits. They're 1.51, but they're there as a safety net. And then lastly, the ARA is, I call them American, but that is our commercial real estate. And that is supposed to be a diversifier based on rental income. We own mainly medical buildings, warehouses, and apartments. So we're pretty light the office, which is the bad. You don't want offices in San Francisco or New York or Chicago. You know, so they've avoided those markets. But as the Fed cuts rates, that's going to basically further support those big buildings that, you know, the hundreds that we own across the country. So I think the general themes are is that, you know, this report is showing 19. We're not quite at 20 yet. We're going to have cash come in that we're going to invest according to your policy. And then, you know, you're beating over, you know, 90% of the public plans for this fiscal year. Long term, we beat 80%. And then, you know, the Fed is supposed to cut rates 0.25% on Wednesday. And then barring anything, we're going to kind of just glide on until 9:30 when Doug's going to smooth in a hopefully a double-digit number. And then we're kind of sitting somewhere in the 11%, more than that as of this morning. But, yes, we're doing very well for this current fiscal year. So I have no other any questions for the book, and then I have a few other administrative items.
No, we're good, John. Thank you.
Okay. So you all should have this stapled paper here. So this is your investment policy statement. And if you turn to I don't have page numbers. Just turn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 into it. You should see some red wording. Okay, so for those that were on the board basically back in 2023, we added a bunch of paragraphs at the time that said we have to invest for pecuniary reasons. So it's a weird word, but pecuniary means we basically invest to make money. Doesn't matter what side of the political aisle you're on, what religious belief is that you invest to make money, and that's what the five of you, that's your job, is let's make the most money given our pot of assets. And given the, a certain amount of risk.